Welcome to Core Cafe, where doctors Sam and Chris share personal stories and explore how core values help you thrive. With science-backed insights and practical tips, they'll guide you through personal growth and professional development. So grab a coffee, settle in, and get ready to be surprised. Because while we don't know exactly where the conversation will take us, we guarantee it'll leave you thinking differently.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Well, here we are, the inaugural episode of Core Cafe. What are your thoughts about this?
It's kind of strange. I mean, we're so used to talking to people either in the exam room or boardrooms or huge lecture halls and conferences. This feels weird because I know someone might be listening to this, but I can't see you. You're not here. But I hope we have something of value to offer you. We're going to have a great time no matter what.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So many people have asked us to do this, and we've talked about it for so long, and finally doing it. I feel almost is this contrived? What are we going to say? Why do people want to hear what we're about to share about these lessons that we've learned as physicians for the last couple of decades with patients?
Well, here's what I know for sure. All those people who asked for this, if you don't like it, it's your fault. You asked for this. You thought totally. It was a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. I guess one of the first places to start is the thing that's most commonly said wrong, which is the actual name of the whole company that came out of our practice and the solution called CED Health. So CED, S-E-I-T-Y. Oh, how many ways has this been said? Saiety?
So many.
Society. It's hard to say. So. And it's funny. It's that old word, CED. It just means a unique expression of self.
Yeah, it's a real word.
We
got introduced to it a long time ago, and it's kind of fallen out of favor. Like you can't find it in some dictionaries, but it is in older dictionaries. And you're right. It means a unique expression of self. But sometimes when you express yourself in your true authentic self, it's actually a really bad idea.
Right.
It causes a lot of harm to people. So we added the health on top of it because we want people to express themselves, their true authentic self, but do it in a healthy way, healthy for themselves and healthy for everybody around them.
Yeah. And by health, I guess the path that we're leading people towards is their best life or well-being. We want them to experience their best life. And I think it's really important to say, how do we get here? Otherwise, there's really no context for how a couple of docs are outside of the exam room trying to do work in the world that can impact a lot of people. The best way for me, at least when I think about how we've shared this story with so many people, to start the acceleration of all the things that we were doing wrong and missing, really, I think, is just best encapsulated when you tell the story about you when you were at University of Washington up in Seattle and the experience that you had along the way with training. I think that's a super valuable way to start. I think it'll give a lot of context.
Yeah, that's a hard story. But I think you're right. I think it's important. So about 200 years ago when I was in training, about 25 years ago when I was in training and finishing up my residency program in family medicine, what they do is they take you out of the academic medical center where you've got all the tools and things like that at your disposal, the ICU and all the specialists at your beck and call, and they put you in a rural community. And so I did this for 2 months where I started to build some trust with these two docs in a rural clinic. And they're like, Chris, you're
had
doing
you
a great
them
job.
Before ever? Did you rotate with them anything?
No, it's just like, nope, here's these, you're going here in this tiny town and good luck. Okay. All right. Let's see how this goes. I started building trust with them, which was great. And they're like, okay, Chris kind of knows what he's doing. That's pretty good. Let's let him run the urgent care tonight. And you can either call a doctor or be a doctor tonight. So I'm definitely not calling anyone. This is my chance to step up.
Yeah, and that's so, like a whole identity piece. That's a challenge to your identity.
I know. You've put in 12 years of professional training, and like finally you're on your own.
It's also so, it's It's also the attending, though, that doesn't want to get called in the middle of
No,
the
definitely not. They
night.
definitely would rather sleep. And so, yeah, this gal comes in, this young gal, and she looks like she's got the world, by the tail, got everything going for her. But she had surgery the previous week, laparoscopic surgery, and one of her wounds is starting to open up. She's super anxious about it. Can't get a hold of her surgeon, says she's in a lot of pain. And so I use all of my incredible skills and use my mental health skills and help her t talk her down from her anxiety and help her feel more comfortable. Say, no problem, we can patch this wound up, get a hold of her surgeon and arrange follow-up for the Monday. It was on a Friday, I remember it really well. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I am crushing it as a new doc. I helped in this crisis situation and a underserved community. How do we put the pieces together? This is what you should do in primary care. Prescribe her some pain medicines to get through the weekend so that she could rest easy and be on her way. Unfortunately, what happened is I got a call from the local coroner the next day. And he said, "Hey, doc, did you treat so and so yesterday?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I just thought you should know that she took the pain medicines that you gave her, but not just you. She went around to four other doctor's offices, gave the same story, and took all of that pain medicines, and she ended her life." I thought it'd just be helpful for you to know, just from just closing the loop on what happened to her. Thank the coroner, obviously, for giving me this vital information, but talk about a gut punch. Like, you question everything at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you question your identity. You question, am I doing the right things? Did I get the right skills? I went to the best of training, and gosh, I had so many questions about how we do healthcare and how we do medicine. And how do we really help uncover these things? And if I would have, what would we have done to get her on the right, help her find her right path? And then not that long after that, I was really fortunate, Sam, to meet you. And we were asking a lot of the same questions. We're like, cool, let's solve some of this stuff we didn't get in our training. Let's go into practice and form our dream practice and try to figure some of these strange things out. How can we get some answers to our questions?
Yeah, you going through that, it's hard for me to even fathom when we're trying to get our footing underneath us with the confidence of actually caring for others as a physician. We're trying to lean into that new identity and new expertise, and there's a whole bunch of imposter syndrome. We're like, oh, do I even deserve to be here? And you have those devastating, you have that devastating experience like that in residency. Those are tough. I had this similar experience, as you know, early in practice with a patient that had been seeing me regularly, trying to work on some things. And he had a visit with me. It was on a Thursday to talk about quitting smoking, which is a very forward-thinking thing. Like, it's like, I'm
Yeah,
thinking about
that's
my
cool.
long-term health. I want to quit
That's like a
smoking.
dream
Let's,
patient.
yeah, exactly. It's all this strategy. And we had a big long conversation, and there's all the things going on in his life and why he smokes and the stressors and this and that. We deep dove into those things. And when I got a call that was up from a Thursday, we put a whole strategy together. When I got the call on Monday that he had got in a confrontation with his spouse and took out a firearm and took his own life right in front of her
Yeah, it's
3 days
horrible.
after I had seen him. I had the same experience. Like, what are we just spent all these years and years and years of training. At this great visit, I did everything right if I was checkboxing it, and yet the outcome was catastrophic. And you can't help but own that. You can't help but
Yeah.
feel like, what did I miss? What were we missing? With the fact that we came together as a group, with a group early in our careers, primary care docs, and we had both had these devastating experiences. it really opened our eyes to the things that we were just totally missing. And I remember, it's funny, I remember our conversations that we would have just sitting around at lunch and in between patients, and we kind of summarized it with, we feel like we're body experts. So we had done our fellowships in sports medicine and primary care, and we had this approach that was, really active lifestyle, and let's help people be healthy. But we were so focused on the body that we were missing the fact that we were treating humans. So body experts taking care of humans, and we just felt like we weren't equipped to answer all the things that were going on in our patients' lives. And we literally weren't doing it prior to that. It's kind of interesting when we started exploring, you remember this, we like, this is not a new concept. We're
No.
like, we need a whole person approach. Let's look at what's out there. And it's
Yeah.
funny, like education was talking about it in the 1900, early 1900s. World Health
1905.
Organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. World Health Organization, 1947. We need a whole person approach to care. Fast forward 1977 in the US, the biopsychosocial model. Everyone keep talking about this whole person model. And then early in the 2000s, when we were in practice, the federal government started coming out with whole person recommendations for mental well-being and things like that. And then I re literally remember this like yesterday when you and I, as sports medicine doctors, saw the International Olympic Committee come out in 2019 with their recommendations, and they had something like, oh my goodness, there was thousands of articles
Thousands.
that they had reviewed. There was I think it was something like 26 specialists from 13 different countries looking at
Yeah,
thousands
sounds
and
about
thousands
right.
of article, and they put out this 50 page, essentially 40 page report, and it said, for elite athletes care, we need a whole person approach. And then
Yeah, for their mental health issues. Yeah.
yeah, for their mental health issues. And about 38 pages after that initial statement, were all about the current ways that we treat things that wasn't holistic at all. So people have been talking about this literally for over 100 years. And there just was, we just found that there was no method. So here we were in practice, and we were searching for, we need a holistic approach. Well, certainly lots of people have talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And talked about it, but no one was actually creating methods. And so I think we were delusional enough to think that, like, oh, maybe we should just
Let's
put
make
it
one.
together. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we start doing that, and you remember the framework that we put together. So, well, this is not new. People live in a world that affects their health, and there's elements of their world, their relationships, their finances, their jobs, their schooling, things like that. They have a body that affects their health,
Yeah,
their
a
mind,
layer
of
deeper.
course, and even their spirit. So we just started, like, it was almost like hanging ornaments on a tree. We kept putting all these articles from all the literature onto these kind of this almost this new filing system of whole health that we were doing. Like, there's so much data out there in all these areas that impact health. Let's just compile it and distill it down and get a good question set that at least we can talk to our patients. At least we can ask our patients these questions to get an idea of what's going on in their world, body, mind, and spirit. And there was another thing that happened, if you remember, that was like super timely. And that is our generation. So we finished med school in the late 90s, and then residency at about 2000, and fellowship. That was the big transition in the United States into electronic health records. And so we had this
I
new
buy paper
digital
charts.
capacity. Yeah, went from paper charts to digital charts, and we had this new capacity to put together lots and lots of information, patient handouts, it's in things like that, where we could then take all of those questionnaires and all the things that we are asking our patients now, and start giving information pieces to our patients in each of these areas. So we did. So we started delivering this assessment that was whole person oriented to our patients, and then we would give them information and talk to them and try to coach them about how to use this information. And it's
Yeah,
kind
the
of
insights
funny.
are amazing. connecting dots for people. People loved it.
One of the things that was funny along the way, was the original 15-minute visit. When you start packing all this stuff in there, like, nope, we can't do that. So we needed a 30, and then eventually we ended up 60 minutes. So literally in a primary care visit, we were making them 60 minutes, which was absolutely not financially viable.
Yeah, I don't think our wives are very happy with that move.
Nope, not at all. It just didn't, it's not the way the system reimbursed it. So on every single patient, we were literally losing money. So then we started some side hustles, like let's add this clinic over here and let's add another component over here because we have to cross-subsidize it just to literally make this thing even viable, enough buoyancy just to even do it. We were so committed to do this. So we made those hour-long visits and we're like, okay, now we're crushing it. Full assessments, whole person care, tons of information, hour-long coaching visits, huge trust, strong relationships. And how'd that work
Lots of
out for
aha
us?
moments for patients, which was awesome. Yeah, but when we would see him back, not a lot had changed.
It hadn't changed that much. It really hadn't changed all that much. And so I remember just the conversation where we say, you know what we've been doing? We've been giving them information. And we're giving everyone the same amount of information, but only some would come back that had w making the changes that were super impactful and big, significant steps towards optimizing their health. And that was a big moment for us. We're like, what was it that those people were doing that was different than the others when we were spending an hour with each of them and giving them all this detailed information in whole person health? And it really boiled down to that's the simple thing. I think you said it. You're like, you know what? We don't have an information problem. We have an inspiration problem because the people that are coming back who are making significant changes to their health and life are coming back inspired. Like, how do we get to the inspiration center of people when everyone is so unique? And that sent us off into a totally different, like,
Oh yeah.
we needed to go there.
Yeah, we start doing strange stuff. We're like, okay, if some people are fired up, inspired, and make these really longitudinal changes through very difficult circumstances, what's different about them versus the others? And so then we went back to the history books and said, okay, let's look at it. People who overcame really difficult things, who were super inspired and stayed focused and just managed to pull some crazy stuff off that we all applaud at the end of their lives or at some point in their lives. So we looked at like, okay, Mother Teresa, what drove her? What, how about Michael Jordan? What about Steve Jobs? What about Martin Luther King Jr., et cetera, et cetera. And we started mapping those factors and putting words on sticky notes, et cetera, et cetera. And soon we had this big list of inspiration factors. And then we said, okay, let's give this big list to our patients and let them choose what they resonate with and what inspires them. And then I remember you saying, Chris, they are having a hard time choosing from our big list. I'm like, oh, okay, back to the drawing board. And so then we figured out, okay, well, let's develop like a card game or a sorting algorithm or something so that we can get to this information more efficiently. So they don't have to see everything, but they can get there relatively fast. And I still remember so many patients, once they got that sort and could can hone in on the four words that most resonated with who they were at their core identity and how they're most inspired, and they started applying that to their lives. It was like eat, pray, love, craziness, and people were changing jobs and making the big move and doing all sorts of wild stuff. I'm going to get my diabetes under control because I want to, because my number one inspiring factor is loyalty, and I want to walk my daughter down the aisle and I don't want to lose my leg. Like, oh my gosh, that's incredible what you've done. All my patient Ed did none of that. And it was pretty amazing. But people were taking big risks on this stuff too. And I thought, and we both thought, I remember us having this conversation too, like, oh no, like they're doing crazy stuff with their lives. Like some of it seems pretty risky. Like, I think we're actually now the very definition of woo. Working. Oh yeah, they're fired up and they're gonna go make crazy change. Like, there's no evidence for this. There's no, like, what are we
Yeah.
doing? Because people are
They
super
just quit their
activated, but
job.
I don't know if this is good, but it seems kind of good. But we don't know how this is going to turn out, or if we're actually ruining people's lives
Yeah.
now at this point. And then you had a much better idea than I did. I was just excited to see people fired up. You're like, we need to put some rigor to this.
Well, we got lucky on that one too, because we had a local university professor that I just was a patient that I was talking to, and I was just floating this idea, this concept that we were having and how it was working. And she was doing some things really intuitively with some of her leadership classes. Like, wow, that sounds amazing. I said, but we really feel like we need to get some science and some rigor to this to make sure that what we're doing is actually legit.
Yeah,
And
evidence-based, yeah.
she, yeah, and she introduced us to some professors at our local university who are just incredible. And they're the ones that facilitated the whole conversation. That's
Yeah.
really what it was.
So we got started on a 6-month project. Well, at least they said it
Yeah.
would take us 6 months. 5 years later, through lots of trial, error, validation with worldwide tools.
Do you remember? Do you even remember what we were like, what we were calling it before? We didn't call it core values. What were we?
No, we
I don't
had no idea
remember.
what we were doing. Yeah.
Yeah, what
But
was.
they're the ones that told us, oh, what you're actually mapping is core values. And there's this huge evidence base behind core values and how when people know these and live them out, they're much more inspired. Their performance goes up at work, school, and sports. And they get healthier. They feel less stressed. We're like, how did we not know this as doctors that if you could know the core values of your patients and help connect them to them, that they might do amazing things with their lives. So, like, yeah, good point. They're in their psychology silo. We're in our healthcare silo. And we're like, we got to bridge this gap. So, lots of research we did with them, validating against other tools that are valid in, I don't know, 90 countries or something like that to make sure. And we were missing some cultural value sets that we had blind spots, like, oh, conformity that can inspire someone. We had no idea these different values. So if we finally got a good set, did lots of trials to make sure it was scientifically valid, and finally 5 years later, they published the findings of this methodology to show that yeah, this is really scientifically rigorous, and people, you can trust this. This has the rigor. So if you're inspired and leaning into this, well, yeah, this is really valid stuff and has an incredible science behind it. It's a crazy
Yeah, but
journey, but cool.
it felt like that was an entire world of health performance and life performance that we literally suddenly gained access to. It was almost like this new world of information that it was baffling that we had not come across it in our medical training to that point. It was really, really incredible. And we kept like you mentioned it, but when you think about performance, this is where the dots all started to connect. We're sports docs, so sports and one is there's a lot of performance in sports, but we were working with businesses because we were doing occupational injuries, and there's work performance, and then we had health performance, and then we had just school performance, and everywhere, every rock that we lift up, we're lifting up, we were like, it's there too, and this there's the dots that started to connect where what became really, really clear is if you want to improve performance, one of the precursors to performance is well-being, period. And so
Makes sense.
one of the questions was, is well, think about all the things that we measure in the world that we care about. John Doerr's book, Measure What Matters. Are we measuring what matters? Well, if well-being is the precursor to performance, how are we measuring well-being? And so that was one question that we had to answer. And so we went down that path to develop a well-being instrument that you could do quickly and daily, and also scientifically valid, because it's again another one of those things where well-being is just a, it was. It's kind of a mess with definitions. There's just so many so many interpretations of what do you mean by well-being? Is this psychological well-being? Is it physical well-being? Is it, are we, is a supplement company? Are we exercise? What do we like? What do you mean by well-being? And so we needed a way that was a universal way of measuring well-being and defining it. And then the real dots came together, which when we discovered that there is a universal path to well-being, that's
Boom.
like
This
mind
works
blown.
for hu all humans. What?
And so, and it really boiled down to the three steps. And of course, it's easy to say now because we've been doing this for 20 years, but the distillation process to get to that, we'd
That was messy.
you mentioned you yeah, messy. You mentioned this before. We're kind of like Forrest Gump. We just kept running. We just
Yeah,
kept
I don't
going.
know. Let's figure this out too.
Just
I
keep
don't know.
figuring it out. So, but we that path to well-being that is really boils down to three steps. And you have to discover who you are uniquely at your core. What are your set of core values? You have to build a strong sense of self, who you are, at your from your core.
Yeah, I remember when I found out my own core values, I kind of had a little imposter syndrome a bit, like vision, innovation, spirituality, creativity. Like, is that really me? I'm just a doctor. I had a little like, I got to lean into that, but that's scary. But affirming that took a while for me to really lean into that.
Owning that and building a
Sorry, I cut in
strong
on your
sense of
story.
self. No, 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 no. Building a strong sense of self so that you can just own it. Because once you do, then you can be deliberate about living it out. And that's where, from our standpoint, when you go back to all the things that we were doing in the primary care clinic on the world, body, mind, spirit, because we had done all that work, categorizing and creating a method to assess world, body, mind, spirit, and all the things that are inside of those four layers of ourselves. Once we added the inspiration center to this whole model, so we have the core values, you build a strong sense of self, and then you apply them to all areas of your world, body, mind, spirit that we are already assessing. Suddenly you could get really, really intentional. And that intentionality resulted in improved well-being. And so we're like, oh, for so many years, we were just banging our knuckles together, and all of a sudden it just slotted over and like, oh, this fits perfectly. So the path became learn who you are, love who you are, live it out in everything you do if you want to discover your path to well-being. And that's what CD became. And that's also why CD is the unique expression of self, why the core the core piece of this is discovering the individual core values.
Yeah. And what's so fun about what we get to do is I feel sometimes like we're scaling Ted Lasso a bit, where, wow, if we can help uncover those belief factors, where if you start to believe in yourself, and there's 37.9 million different combinations of core values that could be driving you, that you need to lean into, affirm, and live out. It's so fun, whether it's a boardroom in a Fortune 500 company and the president is crying about telling his team what that looks like for him to live that out, both at work and at home. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, yeah, that is amazing leadership. Or I got to go back to my old medical school a couple weeks ago, Charles Drew University of Medicine and Science. It's an incredible place. They do such a good job with underserved communities and getting that healthcare pipeline going. Working with high school students, I had a whole room full of high school students. They found out their core values and they spontaneously did this. They would go around at these round tables and like, I am John, and my core values are blank, 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 blank. And then the whole table would just clap and cheer and they'd go nuts. just owning who they are at their core and leaning into this. And this is on a career day. So I'm like, oh, you guys, I can't wait to see what you do with this. With your interest in healthcare careers, let's bust these things out. And you guys need to bring this to the healthcare field and your careers and your lives. And I can't wait to see what you do with the amazingness you have inside you. So really fun what we get to do.
Really fun what we get to do. That's the origin of how we got here. And the application layer of this is really just getting We've just seen it over and over. Everyone deserves the opportunity to discover their core values in a scientifically valid way that's reproducible, so they can trust it. So they can trust this information, this insight. It accelerates insight. And when you build a strong sense of self and you be your authentic self in everything you do, the community impact, the team impact, the performance impact, not only as an individual, but as a collective, just creates so much acceleration to the relationships. You find deeper meaning and belonging. You find much, much more clarity on your direction and where you want to go in life when you have this compass, this North Star of who you are, and how you want to live it out in everything you do. I can't imagine raising kids without it, with,
No, I know.
career planning
So key
or,
for parenting. Yeah.
yeah, life planning. So I think it'll be fun to explore all the applications on this simple methodology, whether it's work, home, play, and at various phases of your life, leaving off to finishing high school, retiring, and every step in between. There's this method works. It's a human solution, and it'll be exciting to continue to share ways to do that.
Yeah, so if we have one take home from the conversation that I think you and I share and that we want everyone to know is like, you are unique and good on the inside. And if you can find ways to live that out in healthy ways in everything you do, your well-being is going to go up, your performance is going to go up, you're going to find and build the life that you love. We guarantee that because that's just how we're wired as humans. And so Sam, I've really enjoyed this time, and I'm grateful for all the people that said, Sam and Chris, you need to do a podcast. I don't know if anyone will listen, but I've had a great time with you. I've had a great time sharing with people that they are unique and good and reliving some of our old stories. It's
Yeah.
fun to dust those off. And I've just enjoyed our time in the Core Cafe. So we hope
Me
this is
too.
enjoyable for you too.
Me too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Dr. Chris Holly, and my four core values are vision, innovation, spirituality, and creativity.
Hi, my name is Dr. Sam Romeo. My four core values are impact, encouragement, wisdom, and spirituality.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Stay curious, stay inspired, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Until then, take care.